You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Why we got you on the phone?
Well, here's, I'll give an example. If you want to go to the Keys right now for the holidays,
yes,
there's nothing left available. I had somebody who's looking for the end of this year, right, and I can get a condo for $6,000 or $7,000 for the week.
Wow.
That's it.
That's it.
And that's not counting the air, and that's not counting your food, and that's not counting your car rental.
Right.
Everything else right now is $13,000-$14,000 for Christmas.
Okay. So you got to plan ahead with Diane Lane.
You have to plan ahead.
How did I do that, Diane?
They can call me at 908-238-9935.
All right.
And make an appointment and come in, and there's so much to talk about. I mean, there's so much out there.
What time frame are you... is kind of open now? You're telling me that Christmas is booked up, but what are you working on for most of your clients now? What season?
Well, I'm trying to do a couple of last minute things for the holidays, and I'm already starting for Easter break.
All right, so you're six months ahead.
I mean, and at that, it's you're almost out of time here because of the way the holiday is running this year, it's going to tie in with spring break.
Whoa.
So there's a lot of things going on with the colleges. Yeah, March, the first week of April, forget it.
Okay.
Very and that's
good.
Also, don't forget, high season.
High season.
High season is December 15th to April 15th. And if you can go, if you have kids that are young enough, that are not in high school, that you can bring the homework with them, work outside the box and go out of season.
All right.
Yep. In the summer, if you don't mind the rain and the humidity, you can do it too.
Okay.
But you just got to be in a pool.
Cool.
You know.
All right, Diane. Thank you so much. Great talking to you. I mean, I can do this all day. But we only have 15 minutes.
There. Oh, my God. There's so much to talk about.
All right. We'll talk to you again next week. Have a good week.
Okay.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
D&L Travel. It's Diane Lane. Give her a call. Make sure you get your plans straightened out now for Easter. You got to do it, or at least start talking about the summer. We're going to take a break. We'll be back with more of Good Morning Hunter in just a few minutes.
Please stand by while we try to reconnect.
You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming. You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
So sad. Sometimes you feel Hopkins, stepping in the shoes, peeping in the pocket of the raincoat. Oh, it's just another day.
Get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the BBB, so call 800-479-2697.
Welcome to Talented People. I'm Jeannie Murphy. It's 3:07 already on October 14th. I hope you're enjoying the month of October if you're in the New Jersey area. It is absolutely breathtaking. Actually, running a little bit late today, looking outside and seeing the most beautiful foliage. Really, hope you have a couple minutes to take it in because it just goes so fast. So let me give you an update on the weather forecast if you happen to be in our area today. Let's see, right now, mostly cloudy with a high about 66 degrees, west wind 5 to 7 miles per hour. Tonight, mostly cloudy, then gradually becoming mostly clear with a low of 42. Northwest wind about 6 miles per hour, becoming calm after midnight. Thursday, sunny all day tomorrow with a high about 65, which is to me perfect. And then partly cloudy with a low of 45 again already. Chance of showers after 9 p.m. on Friday, but partly sunny with a high about 64. And then partly cloudy with a low about 40 on Friday night. Mostly sunny all day on Saturday with a high of 56. And then clear with a low about 33 on Saturday night. Time to close that pool if you haven't done that yet. Sunny all day on Sunday with a high of 50 and a low of 31. I cannot believe it. And then Monday, sunny all day with a high of 53 and mostly clear with a low about 35 on Monday night. It's also going to be mostly sunny on Tuesday. So it really does look like a wonderful forecast for the fall and for October. We're going to go to our quick breaks, and then I'm going to bring you up to date on everything that's going on around here. Thanks so much for listening. Stand by.
A college education, you don't have to go into debt before you even begin.
The actual price of a college education today could cost more than $200,000. Even if you don't qualify for financial need-based assistance, Premier College Funding can help you and your family cut college costs and find efficient ways to pay for college.
Call 908-788-3799 for a free consultation or visit us online at premiercollegefundingllc.com. Getting a college degree doesn't have to break the bank.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
This tree was never chopped down because this crutch never needed to be carved, because these legs never grew weak, because this child never got polio. Over the past 20 years, Rotary Club members have helped immunize over 2 billion children against polio. Now we are on the brink of eradicating this crippling disease once and for all. But we need your help. Thanks to an historic matching grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, every dollar Rotary raises will work twice as hard to make sure vaccines reach the people who need it, to protect the children of the world against polio forever. This is an opportunity to end polio now. Visit rotary.org/endpolio. Rotary, humanity in motion.
This is Chris Phelan, president of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, and I'd like to congratulate our Leadership Hunterdon Class of 2015 for all of their success and accomplishments. Amy Anderson, Jeannie Aversa, Joni Cafaro, Colleen Doerr, Carmel Gettings, Richard Hall, Michelle Cavanaugh, Elizabeth Lowe, Leslie Parica, and Dolores Van Pelt. They have truly accomplished much over these last 9 months. I encourage you to visit the Chamber's website, 100inchamber.org, and read their white paper. Their white paper will contribute greatly to the future economic growth here at Hunterdon County. Also, please feel free to visit the Hunterdon Chamber's YouTube page, and there you will see a great video encapsulating all of their accomplishments, all of their growth, and the continued success, real impact of Leadership Hunterdon here in Hunterdon County.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Welcome back to Talented People. I'm Jeannie Murphy. It's 3:14 already on the 14th of October. Hope you're doing well. I just want to let everybody know that, you know, if you were following along, we had such an awesome event. It was fantastic, actually, for nonprofits at the Palace at Somerset Park last week on the 8th of October. Unity Bank sponsored this fantastic event. Again, there were about 125 people in attendance. We had some amazing speakers. And it was a really worthwhile experience. So if you happen to be listening along and you want to go on Mariah, MarriahMediaCom website, you can check out some of the photos and got a lot of pickup in the press and stuff. But, like, you know, we had some great speakers. We had Steve Califer from Flemington Car and Truck Country. Of course, he's the owner. Ellen Nardoni, who works with him for the Paul R. Nardoni Foundation. We had David Gray. He was on here recently from the Pennsylvania Ballet. Leah Pontani, who's the director at Mercer Institute of Management and Technology Training. George McCullough from Princeton Television talking about the partnership program, where if you're a nonprofit, you can actually get subsidizing to have a video created by a filmmaker for you. And it will tell your story by a professional filmmaker. So, I mean, that was incredible. All of the presentations were awesome. Leah's, in particular, I want to mention, got a lot of interest because she actually was able to show, you know, you, if you're a for-profit or nonprofit, actually places you can go to get grants and also to get access to databases that they have that are statewide that allow you to look for perhaps employees for your company that have a lot of experience and, you know, they are being funded by unemployment benefits. And at the same time, you know, there's that aging marketplace. So I found that really interesting. The whole day was awesome. So again, if you want to look it up, feel free to do so. I'm going to do a couple commercials real quick, and then we're going to go to our conversation here with Michelle Sikirka that was actually recorded from Princeton Television. I think you'll enjoy it. Stay with us.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntonChamberRadio.com.
Like what you hear on Hunter and Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunter and Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HunterandChamberRadio.com app today.
If you're looking to get in front of thousands of new customers, connect with your current customers, you don't want to miss out on the largest business show in Hunterdon County. The 27th annual Hunterdon County Business and Home Expo, coming up on a new date, Thursday, November 5th, in a new location at Hunterdon Central High School in Flemington at the Fieldhouse in Common from 2 to 7 p.m. You surely want to sign up, you surely want to exhibit, something you don't want to miss. Contact the Chamber at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at hunterdonchamber.org.
All right, welcome back to the show. It's Talented People. We've been really busy, so I appreciate it. If you could tell, like, it's like we were so intense on our messages for like 3 years, and then the last like 6 months we have been running around like crazy. Colleen Kelly and I, business partners at Mariah Media and Jeannie Murphy PR, we appreciate your patience, really. It's just been such a fantastic but busy year. And, you know, just want to let you know, we really do appreciate you hanging in there with us. So I'm going to actually introduce Michelle Sekirka. If you've been hanging in there with us over the last year, you've probably seen her on the television shows and radio shows. We're going to play an archive of the Princeton television show that we recently had, where she was talking about the New Jersey industry, New Jersey Business and Industry Association themselves. And then we'll go from there. So I'm going to let you listen in right now. Hi, I'm Jeannie Murphy with Talented People. Thanks for watching. Today, our guest, very special guest, is the president of the New Jersey Business and Industry Association, Michelle Sekirka. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
All right, let's just start from the beginning, Michelle. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure. I'm an attorney by trade. I was in private practice for about 12 and a half years. Then I did some corporate legal work with AAA Central West Jersey, then AAA Mid-Atlantic. Finished there as a senior legal counsel. And then I was the president and CEO with the Mercer Regional Chamber of Commerce. And then I joined the Christie administration in 2010, had my stint in government for about 4.5 years before becoming president of New Jersey Business and Industry Association.
I can't imagine the number of people that you must know around, you know, New Jersey and the surrounding areas over the years with those positions.
Yeah, I pride myself on my relationships, and I'm all about trying to make connections for people. And so that is a really important part of what's important to me is relationship building. Absolutely.
Yeah, when you do know so many people, you can connect those dots and relationships so much better.
Yes.
Yeah, it works for everybody. What about NJBIA? Tell us about the organization itself.
Mm-hmm. We represent 20,000 businesses across the entire state of New Jersey. We are the largest member association in the country, not just in New Jersey.
Wow.
So think about it for a minute, 20,000 business voices. So that is amazing for our role as an advocate. So we are the voice for business in the state of New Jersey. So that's a very loud voice, and that makes us very strong in that voice. And we have to take that responsibility, you know, very seriously, and we have pride in our reputation on that. The flip of it is, though, you know, 20,000 businesses, the diversity of business. So everything from the corner pizzeria or the laundromat all the way up to the 1,000 employee call center, including utilities across the state. And so there can be some challenge in terms of the diversity of our business when you want to find common ground on issues as well.
What about the differences in sizes? Does everybody have their fair share of, you know, vote, or how? And why would someone join the organization?
So BIA, we provide information, services, resources, and advocacy for our members. So we're there for many things. Again, first and foremost is always that voice. Our genesis, we're 105 years old. And so we were created, now picture Trenton back in the Industrial Revolution, if you will, okay? And a bunch of manufacturers getting together, and government all of a sudden starting to have some folks who are reform-minded in terms of legislative reform. And it was around the Employers Liability Act back 105 years ago that New Jersey Manufacturers Association, which was the precursor to NJBIA, was formed by 6 manufacturers in Trenton because they wanted to protect their companies and their employees from government intrusion.
Wow.
So the genesis comes from advocating for good business climate, that you could operate business and protect your company and your employees from mandates, taxes, and things like that. So first and foremost, that's what we're about, is protecting a good business climate so that our businesses can grow and sustain and thrive in the state of New Jersey.
And how does someone go about joining?
Mm-hmm. A couple of ways. You can go on our website, which is www.njbia.org, very simple. Mm-hmm. And you can learn about us, and then there is a button that says become a member. So you can join right online. You can certainly call the office. And that's usually how people find us. Or we're out at events and we meet people and, you know, we make the connections from there.
Is there a certain criteria? Is there some kind of anything a company needs to know that they would not be able to join unless they do X?
No, you're either a business in the state of New Jersey or you have an interest in the business in the state of New Jersey. So we actually also have members that are outside the state of New Jersey. So not their corporate headquarters is not located here, mm-hmm. But they may have deliver into New Jersey, for example. So they may be headquartered somewhere else, but they deliver product in the state. And so that product is subject to rules and regulations in the state of New Jersey. So therefore, they have an interest in business.
Well, let's talk about a couple of the initiatives that you guys are working on as it relates to the policies. Let's talk about the mandatory paid sick leave.
Yes.
Just explain it to us.
That's a big issue. Mm-hmm. So right now, and let's start at the state level.
Yes.
So there is pending a statewide bill that would require paid sick leave for companies that would cover full-time, part-time, and seasonal workers.
Wow.
Okay, so paid sick leave would accrue on day one, and depending upon how many hours an employee worked would be how many hours they would accrue. And depending upon the size of the company, so if the company is less than 10 employees, mm-hmm. An employee would accrue up to 5 days of paid sick leave. And if it's more than 10, it would be 9 days. That's the state policy. Some important parts of the state policy. And let me step back and say, you know, nobody wants sick people at work. Okay, you hear
right.
The proverbial, I don't want anybody sneezing on my pizza, right? Mm-hmm. We get that. Mm-hmm. What we have to step back and think about is that 70% of New Jersey companies already have paid sick leave policies.
Okay.
90% of New Jersey companies have some form of paid time off policy, which is more flexible, where mm-hmm. you know, you can use vacation or sick. Okay, so the overwhelming vast majority of businesses in the state of New Jersey are working with their employees to make sure that they have time so that they don't have to come in when they're sick.
Right.
Okay? And why is that important? Because businesses, you know, they're the, I call it the boots on the ground. Mm-hmm. They know in their workplace the types of programs and policies that are going to work for their type of workforce.
Mm-hmm.
So you heard me say everything from the corner pizzeria to the 1,000 employee call center, right?
Right.
Well, think about time off policies in those two very different scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
Now you got government coming in and taking these flexible policies and shoving everybody into one box mm-hmm. and mandating you do it a certain way, mandating that it gets reported by the hour. So now companies have to record this by the hour, keep those records for up to 5 years. You know, this is a paperwork nightmare for companies, and that costs money.
Right.
That costs companies money. And then there's the provision in there that really gets me is, if a worker calls out sick,
okay.
The employer has to find their coverage for the day. So what does that really mean? You kind of in your head say, well, what's wrong with that? All right, take retail. And the example I always give when I was in college, in law school, I was a bartender. And so I knew if I was going to call out sick, I had the list of the other bartenders.
Mm-hmm.
And I got on the phone, I made a call and said,
right.
Hey, can you cover my shift?
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think that was any big deal. Mm-hmm. I don't want to leave my employer, you know, stand there with nobody behind the bar, right?
Right.
So, but in this scenario, the law says that the employer can't require the employee to find their coverage. So imagine the bagel shop that opens up at 8 o'clock in the morning, and the owner shows up, and the guy who usually is the staffer that opens is calling in sick that day.
Mm-hmm.
Now the employer shows up, the doors are open, there's no one there, and he has to find the coverage for the day. So the policy is very onerous.
When did this policy, was it simulated from another state or anything? Had it ever been tried? There's a lot of, you know, unknowns here, like you say, and requirements, deterrence to a business owner.
Yeah, so what's very interesting is New Jersey is the only state that is looking at a statewide policy right now. Mm-hmm. Outside of New Jersey, there are two cities.
Okay.
Around the country, large metropolitan cities that have a policy like this. Okay. Now in New Jersey, we have 9 municipalities who have enacted local ordinances. So it's already required. For example, in Trenton, where our office is, and right here in Princeton, mm-hmm. right now, mm-hmm. There was a hearing last week on a paid sick leave ordinance. So we now have local municipalities who are putting these ordinances mandating terms and conditions of employment. Now, what's problematic about that? Suppose you have a business here in Princeton, mm-hmm. and you have another office in Trenton, and maybe those two policies are a little different. You're going to treat your employees differently? No, you're not.
Right. Okay.
So it's very challenging when you have this patchwork now of regulations across the state because these different municipalities are having their ordinances. What the state legislators will say is, you know, let us swoop in with the state policy and we'll make it all better because it'll be one policy statewide. What we're saying is the policy itself is this is not the right time for it in the state of New Jersey. Too many mandates on employees right now, on employers right now. I told you that the overwhelming majority of companies already have this protection.
Right.
So the social ill that we're trying to protect with a mandate is pretty much covered. Let's find a different way to deal with the companies that aren't providing those benefits. And let's find out why they're not providing those benefits. Mm-hmm. And let's help them.
Do you have any sense of why they're not? It's just too small? It's too expensive?
Absolutely. Could be too small. Mm-hmm. And candidly, even those scenarios, the pizzeria, I bet you they don't have a written policy, but when Johnny is sick,
everybody knows what to do.
The boss says, make it up next week.
Right.
Okay, and they make it work. But when you mandate and put everybody in a box like this, there's no you lose all the flexibility.
I can't even imagine. I'm a business owner. I'm just sitting here thinking about it and saying, oh my God. Now I'm wondering also, as you know, your NJBIA, are you trying to work to kind of slow down the municipalities?
Yeah.
Because I mean, you have to do both at the same time, right?
So we've
because that's so confusing, overwhelming
Absolutely.
For an owner.
Absolutely. So here's our strategy.
Okay.
Of course, we are we're addressing it at the state level, mm-hmm. and we've had a very loud and persistent voice on that. At the local level, we have been reaching out to the municipalities across the state, the mayors, the council people, having a honest, transparent discussion with them of what this means for business. Mm-hmm. Letting them understand, letting them hear from their business owners, encouraging our businesses to come and talk. I know here in Princeton, some of the local companies have already reached out to us, and our government affairs folks are having meetings, particularly with some of the restaurants.
I can just
about what
the
impact of this could be.
Right.
So we have a proactive campaign on trying to get to those who haven't instituted this ordinance yet. In Trenton, we filed a lawsuit against the city of Trenton on the ordinance, suggesting that action by a elected officials by a municipality or a town is beyond their police powers for public health and safety. And we had a very firm argument upon which to bring that case.
Yeah.
And the judge, candidly being a lawyer, I know when there's precedent and how you can read cases and how you can interpret cases, it was clear that the judge wanted to find the argument to go in favor of the ordinance because she did feel it was a health issue, a health and safety issue. So she did not rule in our favor. She upheld the ordinance, but we did have a victory in that the Trenton ordinance, as most of the ordinances around the state, are written so broadly. The language suggests that any employee who works within the municipal bounds for a certain amount of hours, 80 hours a year, is covered by the ordinance. So what does that really mean? Any employee? Could that mean that a law firm who's in Atlantic City, whose lawyer appears regularly in federal court in Trenton more than 80 hours a year, that employee is going to be covered by that ordinance because they're in the city of Trenton?
Right.
So the judge agreed with us that the language in the ordinance, no way, could go and reach an Atlantic City company because their employee works here. And she said, no, this ordinance on its face could only mean that it covers the companies in the city of Trenton and their employees. Mm-hmm. So that was a win for us.
Yeah, oh my God,
because it definitely limited.
Right.
You know, it definitely limited the...
Well, you just think about all the sales reps in any exactly. company in the state
exactly.
of New Jersey.
Delivery companies.
What do you... Yes. I mean, it would be... It's not even... I can't even think of how you could go about operating your business, managing that.
You can't. And that's... You know, it's a great point. How do you enforce an ordinance like this?
Right.
What's
the backlash to your company if you are,
in violation?
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you, the backlash is significant because there's significant fines. So if you were to be found in violation of the local ordinance, mm-hmm. I don't remember the dollar amount, but it's like thousands of dollars a day that you're in violation. Also, there is a remedy for an employee to bring a suit on the ordinance if they feel that you're not covering
it. That's with the 5 years of records and so on, which also just, in my personal opinion, it is encouraging a lot of bad stuff. It sounds like a really bad idea. I'm glad that you're out there advocating. Is there any, just for the sake of asking, are on the side of their putting this into place, do any of your members strongly say, this is why it is important? I mean, is there anything fair for that?
Oh, this is what, you know, again, I think the social ill that they're trying to protect is being rather well protected. Mm-hmm. And so I think that if people say we need something like this, it's how do we go about helping those who aren't doing it
right.
to do it? And the example I always give, we legislate in this state to the perceived bad actor. Always mm-hmm. think of all the legislation, how it comes about. Mm-hmm. Usually it's because somebody or something went wrong, mm-hmm. okay? Mm-hmm. So when we legislate to the perceived bad actor, what we do is we bring all the good guys along
right.
with them. Mm-hmm. And they've been good. So why don't we, our paradigm shift is, why don't we incentivize good business conduct?
Right.
And as you know, companies know what it takes to be competitive. You're a business owner. So you know that good welfare programs for your employees mm-hmm. attracts a talented workforce who will stay with you. When they perform, you're going to have good sales. When
right.
you have sales, you make profits.
Right.
You reinvest and you're successful, right? That's mm-hmm. how it works. Mm-hmm. So those companies who don't offer these programs, they can't be getting the good employees.
Right.
You know, so competition definitely plays in here as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm. Well, it just makes sense to me that, like, you cannot just put it all in a bucket, like you said. There's
right.
just too many types of companies. There's the nonprofits. There's, you know, totally, like you said, diversity. There's no way. And right. people know what they're doing, and they need to be able to have the choice.
Exactly.
And yet, at the same time, you can always lead by creating things that do help those that don't have those programs.
And you just mentioned nonprofit. Just think about it. I mean, think about the shoestring that nonprofits operate on.
I just can't imagine.
Can't imagine.
Mm-mm. Wow. So is there anything else on that topic matter that you wanted to add to? Because
well, we're pretty passionate about it.
I can tell.
So I guess if I'm a betting girl, right? Mm-hmm. And if I'm looking in my crystal ball, if this policy gets through the legislature in this session, I do believe the governor would veto it because the governor will not put another mandate on business right now. He understands the only way to grow our economy is to make it affordable to operate in the state of New Jersey right now. So just bad timing this. So I think it vetoes. I think we're okay for now on this one at the state level. The challenge for us is this local ordinance.
I just can't imagine that.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll keep doing our outreach. For any companies that are out there and want to talk to us, you know, please give us a call. On our website is all our contact information. We're working with businesses every day. We're taking their testimonials.
Oh, I bet.
And we're telling the story at the local level and at the state level.
Great. Keep it up. I think that's just a critical issue, as you know. So let's talk about the estate and inheritance tax.
Yes, another challenging issue in the state of New Jersey. So New Jersey is an outlier in what we call the dual death taxes, estate and inheritance tax. Why is this important to business? So I said we represent 20,000 businesses. Majority of our members, vast majority of our members, are small business. We reflect the footprint of the state of New Jersey, mm-hmm. small business. Mm-hmm. We're a small business owner, okay?
Right.
That's the heart and soul of the business in the state of New Jersey. Oftentimes within those small businesses are generational businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Very often, third, fourth generation.
Right. Okay?
When a business owner is doing their business planning for the future, as a generational business, they're also doing succession planning.
Correct.
So they have to think about how do things like estate and inheritance tax impact the passing of the business to the next generation.
Mm-hmm.
So what we hear from our members on this is, well, first of all, these two taxes in New Jersey are the estate tax is the lowest threshold in the nation. So we start taxing an estate in the state of New Jersey at $675,000. Now stop for a minute and think about the value of $675,000 in an estate in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
An expensive state to live in.
Mm-hmm.
If you're fortunate enough to have a home in Princeton, you're there.
Right.
Your home is $675,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you were responsible, you put some money away in your 401k, so now you have a pension,
mm-hmm.
okay? Suddenly you're a millionaire.
Mm-hmm.
So we're taxing you at $675,000.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I met a business owner a few weeks ago who introduced me to his succession plan. He said, here's my son, and my son-in-law. So my son and my son-in-law are going to operate the business after me. But here's the problem. The son-in-law, because of his lineage, is now subject to the inheritance tax if this gentleman died and the estate passed, the business passed to these two, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to get taxed on the estate. And now the son-in-law, because he is not a direct lineal descent, from dollar one, the value of the business gets taxed at dollar one. So, these are deafening. And this gentleman said to me, he goes, "I can't. If I drop dead tomorrow, These young men are not going to be able to sustain this business once they pay those taxes. Mm-hmm. Right? That's devastating. Mm-hmm. So we are putting together, you know, right now we're finishing up the budget session. Right now we have to be very conscious on the next couple of weeks to make sure the budget, which we'll talk about, comes out favorable for the business community. But July 1, we're hitting the ground running on a very, very strong, aggressive campaign on relief for estate and inheritance tax.
Wow.
And again, we're asking businesses who, this is an issue for them, to let us know. Mm-hmm. We know it's an issue for individuals in the state of New Jersey. We see the outward migration every day.
I bet.
So let me give you a couple of statistics. Mm-hmm. Okay, outward migration is people leaving the state of New Jersey. From 2000 to 2010, we lost $15.7 billion in taxable income in the state of New Jersey. So imagine $15.7 billion that's able to be taxed at our tax rates that would come into the general fund to be able to be used for services. Don't have that. In 1 year, between 2009 and 2010, we lost 8,700 tax filers out of the state of New Jersey. How do we know that? We know that because a van company, moving truck company, did a survey, followed where people were going, and then married that back to tax filings. And we saw that in 2009, those 8,700 people filed a return in the state of New Jersey, because it's on file. The next year, they filed in another state. Okay, $5 billion. Mm-hmm. So, and this continues. I mean, this is every day. I travel the state every day, and I visit with my members, and I talk to them. And what they tell me is they're starting to count their 186th day out of the state. Because if they have 186 days out of the state, they're not a resident here. So they can come back and transact their business, keep their business here, but be out of the state. So we have to stop this. And when our legislators say, if we give relief on estate and inheritance tax, we can't afford to lose that. They estimated about $400 to $600 million a year in the budget. We can't afford to lose that. You know what we say? We can't afford to have any more people leave the state of New Jersey.
Right.
It's common sense.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Boy, so then you're going to start on that initiative in July, you said?
July 1. We've been advocating for it already. We were advocating it to be part of the budget. But what happened was, in this budget cycle, it became the counteroffer to a gas tax. So you may have heard this. When everyone said, well, if there's going to be a gas tax, how are you going to neutralize that for people so it's not considered a tax increase? Mm-hmm. And estate and or inheritance tax became the other side of that equation. So when gas tax and that whole discussion of transportation trust fund came out of the budget right now, everybody just, you know, lost the estate and inheritance tax part of it too. So we need to bring that back, and that is a major priority for us in this next coming fiscal year.
Great, great. What about the millionaire's tax?
So right now in the budget, we do hear from our Senate President, Sweeney, that he is advocating for millionaire's tax. Now, he's done this, and the legislature's done this every year. They've put in a millionaire's tax. This year, it is a pure millionaire's tax, so it would only start at $1 million. The millionaire's tax affects small business, and mm-hmm. small business is not a millionaire. Mm-hmm. So if we start taxing, and why is that? S-corporations, mm-hmm. small companies, you may be, is an S-corporation. Yes. So mm-hmm. all of your business income flows through your personal return.
Right.
So you hit $1 million. Sounds like a lot of money. Again, state of New Jersey, it's not.
No.
But whatever you're making in your business, you put that back in your business. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Right.
Now that dollar is going to be taken from you, go to tax at a higher rate, and you're not going to be able to reinvest in your company. And we know there's multitudes of companies across the state of New Jersey that are going to be impacted by millionaire's tax. So we're not talking about the really rich and wealthy people who own the super mansions.
Right.
We're talking about small business owners, that pizzeria guy that I'm
talking about. Well, you're talking about all three of these issues affecting me directly.
Absolutely.
And I didn't even know anything about half of them. I'm so glad to have you here because this is what we need to talk about. No, continue, please.
Sure. So, again, if there's a millionaire's tax, every time it's come up during this administration, the governor has vetoed it. So Betting Girl, if it goes through, I don't think we're going to see anything on it. But we're staunch. We're making our voice known. We're bringing our members, you know, into the legislature and bringing data to them and saying, this is really how a millionaire's tax impacts small business. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's something we're watching in this budget session. The key for us finishing up the budget cycle right now is ensuring that the tax credits and tax cuts that are in the budget this year stay there, mm-hmm. Ensuring that no new taxes come in, because the governor said no new taxes. And if we can get through that, business will be happy with this budget. So,
good. Yeah. So what else is going on with the New Jersey business? I mean, I can't imagine any more on your plate than mm-hmm. it is, but tell us about...
Well, let's talk about something positive, because I always say, first of all, New Jersey is a great place to live, work, play, raise a family, all of that, right? Mm-hmm. Highly educated, centrally located. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a reason why we're here, right? There's a reason why we're Jersey girls.
Absolutely.
So, and nobody wants to join a losing team. So if we all just sit around and kind of moan about what's broken in New Jersey, we're not going to attract new business, and nobody's going to want to stay. They're going to want to go someplace where people are happy, okay? So we have a lot to be happy about in New Jersey. BIA does a lot of work around workforce development.
Okay.
We help to facilitate partnerships between government, business, and higher education to make sure that we have an able and ready workforce to come and work for our companies. We hear oftentimes that students aren't prepared, whether it's the soft skills, you know, the social skills, or the technical skills. Mm-hmm. And so we've been a great facilitator in programs that help to bring the soft skills, the technical skills. We partner with Department of Labor on grant programs, even coming into the workplace and doing English as a second language for folks. So that's something we're very proud about at BIA that people don't often hear a lot about. Mm-hmm. Another exciting thing about BIA is we publish an award-winning magazine, New Jersey Business. And why is that important? You know, in New Jersey and anywhere right now, there is a lack of good, positive business news. I pick up my local paper. I'm lucky if there's a half a page of business news. And usually it's like something from California. Mm-hmm. Like, tell me about New Jersey. There's great stuff going on here.
Right.
So here we are with our great credible voice. And we bring this positive, you know, these positive business stories to our readers. Mm-hmm. And then we've taken that now to a daily news service that we send out to our readers every day at 4 o'clock.
How many circulation is that?
That's actually 27,000.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. And so it's nice because, you know, what's going on in the business world today? That's what business people want to know, and they want to know it in their community and in their state, and
that's
we deliver that for them. So we're proud of that.
I think you should be. I have to say, I really appreciate the fact that you came here today and that you are representing the New Jersey Business Industry Association. You're so capable. And I think what you're organizing and how you're able to do it with the 20,000 people and the 27,000 people is really something. I'm like, wow, and I've learned so much today.
Great.
From you. I'm so glad.
Well, that's
here.
Important. As we yes. know, I mean, everything is about education first. Mm-hmm. And this is what we say with our legislators. You know, you can't, sound bites are great. They always sound like, you know, snazzy and sexy, right? Data, mm-hmm. hard data. And mm-hmm. when you can stop and learn. So today, as you've learned about BIA, you know, this is what we try to educate our legislators every day on what, you know, what policy has real impact on business and people. And so I'm glad I was able to educate you today and educate your watchers.
Oh,
and,
me too. And, yeah. I'm sure they've learned just as much as I have. And I'm just sitting here saying, oh my goodness, I can't believe everything that's going on. That was just, and it makes so much sense. I think that your positivity, though, is really important, the way that you brought that back up, because I am a Jersey girl. I love New Jersey. I know you can tell you do. And for you to have that passion is to representing everybody, I think it's awesome.
And what's great is, you're a small business owner. You're mm-hmm. really busy.
Right.
You are all at the same time. You're changing the light bulbs. You're doing invoicing and you're providing a service. Okay. Let mm-hmm. us be there to help you in your back office. Let us support you in your back office. You can call us. You can get resources from us. We can educate you on the issues that are important to you. And then we can be your voice out there protecting your interest, because you don't have time to do that. So
right.
let us do it for you.
I'm going to.
Great.
All right. Thanks so much, Michelle, for being on the show
today.
Oh, it's
a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thanks for watching.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Good evening, this is Dr. Blood and my pal Igor. We want to invite you to visit us at the Haunted Village at the Red Mill in Clinton, New Jersey. Come by to have a cup of hot tea with me on October 9th, 10th, 16th, 17th, 23rd, and 24th. Tickets are on sale online at the redmillhauntedvillage.org. The prices are $30 for regular admission and $45 for express. Don't forget to scare up a coupon from our local merchants. We hope to have you soon.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care, at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Hi, I'm Sharon Skibbe of CompuPay Payroll. The Chamber is a great way to connect to other businesses within Hunterdon County and build strong and lasting business relationships.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Jeannie Murphy with Talented People here, continuing our series on featuring Santa Choice award-winning products for you and your family. And today we're sharing with you one of our special items. It's called Box for Blocks. And the founder of the company, Peter Botherway, is Skyping in from New Zealand right now to tell us all about it. Hi, Peter.
Yeah, hi, Jeannie. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Yeah, good, good.
Good. Now tell us a little bit about yourself and how this Box for Blocks products came to be.
Well, it was one of those typical light bulb moments with, you know, we had four young children, and I came home from work at lunchtime one day. My wife was tearing her hair out, and she uttered the words in frustration. She said, she told me about how the my youngest had just come home from preschool, and she'd spent the morning organizing the children's Lego, and he'd been home 5 minutes and he'd tipped it out all over the floor again, and she's uttered in frustration. She says, I wish somebody would invent something to store Lego like they used they store coins in the bank. You know, those things they used to store coins in the bank. And so the old light bulb moment went off, and we messed around with a few plastic ice cream containers and saw that it worked. And then we decided that we'll have a go at doing it, and we've done it. And it's been a very exciting little journey, I could say.
Well, I think it's incredible. The story's incredible, because how many years ago was that?
Oh, it was in the early 90s that we first brought it out. Yes, it was. So we sold it in retail in New Zealand, and we were exporting it through to Australia, and we were sending it up to Europe and that sort of thing. But like, it was very, very tough to take one product to market through retail. And it was, in fact, we shelved it for a few years. And it was only until the internet came along that we saw the opportunity. And that's when we decided to move our manufacturing to a contract manufacturer in Pennsylvania in the States, and we are now selling it in the States online via our website in conjunction with Amazon FBA, and the system's working very, very well.
Well, everybody can appreciate stepping on a bunch of Legos, having them in chaotic form all over the house, loving them to death, and then all of a sudden having Box for Blocks to store them now. So, and although it's been around, for those who don't know about it, it is called Box for Blocks. It's like a coin sorting machine manually by levels and different sizes for your kids. So one of the other benefits I love about this product is a Santa Choice Award winning one was that if you have children of different ages, it is a safe product actually, because it allows it, you know, the small pieces to be put where they're supposed to be. And it also is great for autistic children as well, because there's a sense of order to everything. And I believe, by the way, as well as with the rest of the Santa Choice Award reviewers, that being organized and teaching kids from an early age how to put things away and organize themselves is also very valuable. All right. Well, then, you know, congratulations again, Peter, on Box for Blocks. Where can people go to get it if they'd like to order one?
Well, basically, you can go to our website, which is Box for Blocks, which is B-O-X, the number 4, B-L-O-X. Or you can go directly to Amazon and just sort Lego sorter, Lego storage, we can, you know, it's available through Amazon, and Amazon take care of everything to do with your delivery, and you pay at Amazon. So that is that's all what I would recommend most people to do, is just go to Amazon. We have got a video on our website of it in action if you want to see it. But go to Amazon, read our reviews, see what our customers are saying, and all I can say is get there and buy the Box for Blocks.
I agree. Buy the Box for Blocks. Congratulations again, Peter. Take care out there.
Okay, thanks very much, Jeannie.
Our pleasure.
My name is Colleen Dewar. I'm the Development Director for Family Promise of Hunterdon County. One of the critical needs in the nonprofit world is opportunities to network and opportunities to learn and gain the experience and knowledge of our colleagues. And our colleagues, not just in the nonprofit sector, but also in the for-profit sector. Again, I think the line of communication has to be open between both of those groups. And so it's networking that provides us all the opportunity to learn from each other. All of us have been through various different circumstances and met various needs, and the opportunity to share that with one another is incredibly valuable. I've been working in the nonprofit community in various roles for over 10 years now, and I can't imagine not working in the nonprofit sector. The value that we bring to our community is incredible. We are filling unmet needs.
Make a difference to nonprofits in the state of New Jersey. It will be a very worth.
I mean, for me personally, when we work with the different nonprofits, you know, some of them I really get to get very personally involved and touch different stories. You know, we were a sponsor at an event where some of the clients from Family Promise came up and spoke about their story. And to be able to be touched, you know, to see what your help as a bank has done, and see that person talk about how through losing their job and they were living in a car, and then they came to this organization that helped them find stable housing, and their daughter came up and talked about how different it was now that she was in high school and had, you know, a home to go home to, and she could have her friends over and things like that. You know, that means a lot to me to be able to, at the end of the day, say, hey, my work means something. You know, it's nice when, you know, if you're a surgeon and you save somebody's life, you know, or you have a type of job where at the end of the day, it's really easy to say, you know, yeah, I did something really good. And sometimes, you know, you're a banker and say, well, what good do I do? But when you see the work that your bank does, you see the partnership with the nonprofits and you get involved in these different things, that your bank is supporting, then it, you know, it gives you the feeling like, yeah, you are doing good, you are doing part, you know, you are doing your part to help your community.
Those words are from Rosemary Fellner. She's the chief marketing officer at Unity Bank, and they just sponsored the event at the Palace for Nonprofits. It was awesome. You can look up Mariah Media to learn more. Hope you enjoyed our conversation with Michelle Sikirka, the CEO and President of New Jersey Business and Industry
Association. Hi, I'm Jeannie Murphy. This is Talented People. Thanks for watching. We are featuring Santa Choice award-winning products, and it's my pleasure to bring you Set Enterprises. We're talking with Rebecca Anderson, and she's going to tell us about the game Set. Rebecca, tell us about it. How did it become such a popular award-winning game?
Set actually has a really interesting story of how it came to be. In 1974, our founder, our inventor, Marcia Jean Falco, was actually studying in Cambridge, and she's studying population geneticists, and she was looking to see if epilepsy in German Shepherds was inherited. And when she was doing so, she was putting little blocks of information about the German Shepherds onto cards. And so she'd use shapes in order to help her organize the information. And one of the veterinarians looked over her shoulder and said, "Looks like you're playing a game." And she said, "Well, actually, I think it would be kind of a fun game." And so that was where the idea was born. And so for 17 years, she played with friends and family, kind of changing the shapes and the numbers. And in 1990, they encouraged her to use her children's college education fund and actually go out and produce this game. And so she was working at Michigan State University at the time. She worked with the professors in the colorblind lab to try to find the best shapes and colors in order to best express what she was doing. And she published the game in 1990 after playing for 17 years off the shelf. And it immediately became a Mensa Select award-winning game. And the first run sold right out, and she had to do a second production. And so she's been playing with family and friends ever since. And so it's now, from 1990 to this year, it's been 25 years for us.
Congratulations on your 25th anniversary. You know what? It's won 35 awards, which is like the highest, I think, in all history of award-winning games. So congratulations on that as well. Tell us how it works.
Okay, well, a set, each card in the deck is unique. So each card, I'm going to pull some up so I can show it to you. Each card has a different color, shape, and number on it. So you have red, green, and purple. You've got one, twos, and threes, and you've got diamonds, squiggles, and ovals. So when you're trying to find a set, you're trying to find three cards in an array of 12. If any table can become your board, you're looking for three cards, which each of the features are either all the same or all different at the same time. So and the keyword is all. So you can't just say, well, I found three purple cards, it makes a set. They either all need to be purple, and all need to be different shapes, and all need to be different numbers, or it wouldn't be a set. If anytime you can say two cards are one are something and the third one is not, it breaks the golden rule and it wouldn't be a set. So it's kind of tricky in the sense that once you understand what a set is, it's easier to play. It's definitely something where you learn that intelligence is something that is learned, it's not inherited, because as you play, you get better at it. You're using the left brain and the right side of your brain in order to visually perceive the patterns that are out there and logically test them and then go back and pick them up. So it's been a great game in terms of developing pattern recognition, cognitive thinking, cognitive processing speed. And actually, there's a fun little twist where you can work on your working memory, which has been a really big thing in the news. So the last couple of years, they've been doing a lot of studies on that. So yeah. A set is basically three cards that's either all the same or all different at the same time. And with the game, there's no turns and it's no luck. It's just a game of speed and a game of skill. And you find your competitive juices really get going as you're looking for the set to find the sets before your colleagues do. And you can play either solo or as many people who can safely fit around the table. I do mean safely, because you can get a lot of people around the table and it can get kind of competitive. So from 1 to 20, maybe we'll cut it off there. 20 round of table is about its limit.
How much fun. Now, is this the only version of a set in your line of games?
Actually, no. Well, the whole set family has a couple different versions. So we had a lot of fun with the cards. So we also moved it over to dice. And we have a set dice game that's come out. There's three different ways to play the dice. You can kind of play fast and furious, just like you do with the card game. But we also have one that's kind of like a crossword set where you make different sets in different directions. And we also have added a board, which added some strategy. So it slows it down and adds some strategic thinking. So people who like the idea of set, but they might not be as quick at thinking. That sounds terrible. They're not as quick at thinking. But when you add the set dice, it slows it down and gives it turns. So you can go through a lot of different options in your mind and really evaluate it. But people that are more strategic thinkers as opposed to fast thinkers might really enjoy that. And actually, in my office, I enjoy playing that a little bit more because we have some really fast players, and that gives me at least it evens the playing field.
That was conversation with Set Enterprises. They're award-winning many times over for their games. If you go online to setenterprises.com and you look up, you can see Set Games, Quiddler, Exact, all the games that, you know, your family's probably known for more than 25 years now. So I'm going to end this 3 to 4 Talented People show on Wednesday, October 14th. We're going to the news, and then we're going to be back to talk to the partner, Michelle Heidi from Heidi Patton and Associates Ameriprise. These are the people that are behind the scenes. They have their own show here on Hunterdon County Radio, Chamber Radio, and you're going to learn more about them. And also Jeannie Aversa, and she's one of their financial advisors, also hosts the show. So stay with us.
This is USA Headline News. I'm Melody Burkett. Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump is holding a strong lead in two key early voting states. A new CNN ORC poll shows Trump earning over 35% support in both Nevada and South Carolina. In Nevada, Trump got 38% support, with Carson coming in at second with 22%. Trump doubles his lead over Carson in South Carolina, getting 36% support as opposed to Carson's 18%. In both states, none of the other candidates managed to get double-digit support. The White House is urging calm and restraint as deadly violence continues in Jerusalem and Tel Aviv.
The United States continues to be in regular contact with both the Israeli government and the Palestinian Authority.
In his daily briefing, spokesman Josh Earnest noted that Secretary of State John Kerry will travel to the region soon to try and ease tensions between Israelis and Palestinians. This week, Kerry says he will try to re-engage the two sides and move them away from the precipice. For the USA Headline News, I'm Melody Burkett.
If you have trouble remembering names, if problems with focus or mental clarity are affecting your work, or if you have an aging parent in mental decline, please listen closely to this important message. A team of neuroscientists with the University of Massachusetts Lowell has developed Perceptive, a breakthrough nutritional supplement. Independent research funded by accredited organizations like the Alzheimer's Association, National Institute on Aging, and the National Science Foundation.